Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the newest and greatest edition of the Take the Shot podcast. It is your boy Teddy, soloing it this week. Our boy Zay has some stuff to take care of, so shout out to him. I am doing great. It's been a great week. It's been a little weird here in Texas. It's we had a little cold snap come through, as in most of the country. But unlike most of the other parts of the country, Texans lose their minds when it comes to cold. It got down to the teens and felt like 3 degrees, and we almost lost our minds. But we made it. We're here. We're back. We're ready to roll. But I wanted to get something out before the divisional weekend of the NFL and also touch on a couple other things. Obviously, the hires of Alabama, and then, of course, the trickle-down effect with Washington to Arizona and all that in college football, and then obviously talk about last weekend's super-duper wild-card weekend, which wasn't really that super, to be honest. There was only really one good game, unless you're a fan of the teams that won. It just wasn't really good football, to be honest, but we're going to talk a little bit of that, and then obviously touch on the divisional rounds and anything going forward. But we will first start off with the super wild card weekend that was not super. And we're going to start with my fellow co-host, who's not here today, so I get to shit on them a little bit. It is the Philadelphia Football Eagles go down to Tampa Bay and just get flat out embarrassed. Look like they didn't want to be a part of this game at all. Did not seem like they cared. It was just weird. And now you have this uncertainty up in the air of, is Nick Sirianni going to be there or not? It seems like they're giving him a chance to. I guess apparently they're doing something that they did with Doug Peterson before they actually fired him, is that basically go out, find some coordinators that want to come here and that we will pay. And we'll see. I still think this ends up with him being fired. I think you have too many good coaches out there. Like you said, Vrabel, like we said last week, Vrabel's still available, got fired. It was just announced about an hour ago. It was about 4:30 here on Friday that Antonio Pierce seems to be officially, or will soon to be officially announced as the head coach of the Raiders, taking off the interim tag, so congratulations to him. Obviously, that was the right move. It was silly if it wasn't going to be him, but it is the Raiders, so you never know. But back to the Eagles, they just looked, you know, lost. It looked like the only person who really showed up was Devontae Smith. Hurts didn't look great. Obviously, I think he's hurt. That offensive line, you know, the tush push finally failed on him on fourth down in the goal line. Kind of was a turning point of the game. Vita Vea, you know, single-handedly stopped the tush push. And now it's almost like the coordination of the season for the Eagles. Just kind of, you know, they were still in it for a little bit. And then that safety happened, and it was kind of just over from there. So, you know, shout out to Baker, though. Baker Mayfield. I actually live in Lake Travis, where he went to high school. So, you know, everyone around here roots for Baker. I've always been a pro Baker guy. You know, this is kind of one of my little victory laps for him, because he's going to be able to get a contract, you know, and be a quarterback. You know, I think he lost his swagger when, you know, he got traded from the Browns and kind of hopped around and kind of won it back this offseason, you know, with the Bucs and beat out Kyle Trask. And, you know, he's been hurt too, so he didn't look great coming into this game. But, you know, this Eagle defense may, I don't know, it may seem to make everyone look great, because, by golly, man, he had 300 yards, 3 touchdowns. Just an unbelievable game from him. The Eagles kind of got to go back to the drawing board. I mean, what an awful performance. You know, just the fact that they, you know, go 10-1 and then basically go 1-5, 1-6 in the last 7 games to end the season. they started out basically with the MVP with the best record in the league, and then it went to shit. You know, that's really the only thing to say about it. And it's tough, and you know, it's tougher on Philly fans, obviously, and the organization itself. And then obviously the leaked or unleaked rumors of whatever you want to call it, Jason Kelce, maybe his final game. I think it is. But I also think he kind of wants to do it on his own terms. And I think, you know, whoever leaked it's a loser. I hate that it gets leaked to the public. Everybody wants to be first and stuff. You know, it came out on his podcast and said, you know, I haven't really decided anything yet. I think it's decided. You can kind of tell. And he deserves it. He deserves it to announce on his own. He deserves to go out, whether he wants to go out this year or not. You know, it kind of sucks that if this is his last game, but like he said, don't feel sorry for him. He's been to 2 Super Bowls. He's got a Super Bowl ring. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, whatever anyone says. He was a good guy before the podcast and the fame, you know, with his brother. And he is still a good guy afterwards, you know. And as a fellow lineman, even though I haven't played, you know, at any level in almost 15 years now. God, I'm old. Where'd the time go? Sad. Anyways, always, you know, have a special place for the big uglies on the O-line. So shout out to Kelce. But, you know, the Bucs get to move on. They get to play the Detroit Lions to get another home game this weekend, which is awesome. They had their first home game in 32 years, I believe. That was the best game of the weekend, and we said on this podcast last week that it was probably going to be one of the best games. It was. It came down to the wire. 24-23 was the final. You feel bad for overbetters because going into halftime, you're like, oh, this is easy money. You know, and only, I think, 10 points were scored in the second half. Defense tightened up. You kind of could tell that if there's a little bit more time, maybe the Rams win that game. But that's why they play 60 minutes, and it doesn't matter. As long as one team's ahead over at the end of 60 minutes, it doesn't matter if you needed 61, you only had 60, you know. So that was probably the best game of the weekend. You know, Stafford homecoming. Them booing Stafford, that's wild to me. Like, you know, the dude did everything you asked for him, you know. And, I mean, I get it. You can't. It, you know, it's kind of difficult because you don't want to – I don't think they really wanted to boo him, but, you know, you kind of had to just because, you know, his opponent, it's the first playoff game. You know, I'm sure that a lot of that went in on both sides, whether they want to say it or not. And it's tough on the fans, but, like, I just think in that instance, man, you can't really boo him, but it is what it is. Lions walk out victory. Now they're one step closer the NFC Championship game. Even though a lot of people think it may be a cakewalk and the Bucs, you know, ran into just an awful Eagles team, can't count out the Bucs now, man. They're playing with house money, you know. They are, you know, they're going to sit there and play with house money now. You know, they weren't supposed to beat the Eagles. You know, they weren't supposed to be whoever came out of the NFC East as the fifth seed just because of how bad everyone thought the NFC South is. Thought is, it probably still is, but the Bucs played a hell of a game, so I think that's going to be a great game. You know, that's on the Sunday game. And then the Browns and Texans, man, we were wrong on this game, 100% wrong. I thought the Browns were going to come in and handle business against a rookie coach and a rookie quarterback, and both of them did not play or coach like rookies. They, you know, Flacco, it kind of turned midnight for Flacco. He kind of turned into, you know, sometimes what he is. It's still a hell of a season, though, for the Browns. You know, just juggling. Sapansky did a fantastic job. So it's hard to, you know, be down on it and be disappointed. Obviously, everyone was kind of hoping for that Baltimore Browns, you know, rematch. You know, rubber match, as you will, in the second round. But the Texans just flat out came out there. Nico Collins is becoming a wide receiver one before our very eyes. CJ Stroud, man, is that dude. perfect passer rating or near perfect passer rating. You know, didn't do too much in the second half. The defense had two pick sixes, and just kind of took it to Flacco and the Browns in the offense. You know, Derek Stingley, you know, was kind of finally showing why he was a third overall pick in the 22 draft in front of Sauce. You know, a lot of people were like, man, how do you take him in front of, you know, Sauce Gardner? But he's kind of showed to now that he's healthy of why he was considered the best cornerback coming out of LSU. So, you know, their team, just like the Bucks, man, they're playing with house money. Like, they, you know, they weren't supposed to be here. You know, everyone kind of shitted on them for trading up and getting Will Anderson because they were like, your team's gonna stink. Why, you know, trade away draft picks? We need them. And, you know, everyone's like, oh, they traded away next year's first to move up. And they're like, that's going to be a top 10 pick. Cardinals are going to have two top 10 picks. And then, you know, they're going to be stuck with the Browns pick. And, you know, the Browns end up being good. And that was kind of a cool game because now, no matter what, even though Houston gets to give their pick to the Cardinals, they get the better of the two picks now, which was a wildest, you know, assumption at the beginning of the league, you know, so they're in the division round play Baltimore. And then you had probably the worst game, in my opinion. It was obviously the coldest game. The Dolphins, we said they were frauds pretty much all year. It was kind of the coming out party for Rashee Rice for the Chiefs. The Chiefs handled business, 26-7, relatively easily. Was not very close all game. Obviously, two and then were uncomfortable in the cold weather. You know, got down to -11 or whatever. I can't imagine playing in that cold of a weather. So, I'm not gonna harp on it too much. But Kansas City came in and do what they needed to do. Mahomes keeps showing why he's the best quarterback in the league. And it, you know, sets up a matchup in Buffalo that everyone's, I'm sure, going to talk about. Obviously, he's got the marquee spot on Sunday. And then lastly, the Green Bay Packers go into Jerry World and take out my NFC representative. I should have never, ever hitch my wagons, sorry-ass Dallas Cowboys. Man, I tell you what an embarrassment. They're, you know, the final score made it closer than what it was, but it was 27-0 at one point. The Packers had a pick six, picked off Dak twice in the first half. Jordan Love was throwing to wide-open receivers. It was just incredible. What a game plan by LaFleur. And, you know, Love had almost identical stats to Stroud. So another young quarterback, you know, obviously he's a little bit older from the 2020 class. But, you know, he's standing tall in the 2020 class right now. You know, obviously Burrow got hurt. So, you know, you can't really shit on Burrow like that, you know. But, you know, Tua didn't do nothing in his playoff game. Herbert on the couch making Subway commercials. Hurts looked like dog water against Tampa Bay. So you got to give it up to Jordan Love, man. You know, they surrounded him with talent. You know, he's using the talent that he's giving. You know, Jalen Reed, what a home run. What a home run pick by them. I think it's a third-round pick. What an awesome pick for them, you know. Dontavius Wicks, you know, when he gets in there. You know, you would like to see Romeo Doubs get in there a little bit. You know, he was a first round pick, but he's kind of leaning on the bus side. But I mean, Christian Watson, no, Romeo Doubs is good. Christian Watson's the one who kind of leaned on the bus side. My apologies, Doubs. But you know, he's been hurt too. But you know, they had just wide open dudes after wide open. Shoemaker was wide open on that 70-yard run. That boy got some wheels on him. You know, I ain't going to say deceptive speed because he's a white boy. That dude's fast. That dude caught that ball and just took off. I was like, boy, I mean, he was outrunning them boys on the Cowboys defense. Just wide open, too, like I said. Michael Parsons was kind of a no-show, which is wild. They kind of kept him in check all game. And then, you know, Dak had those, you know, padded stats. You know, he ended up with 400 yards or whatever. But, you know, and what? In a losing effort. He played horrible. He gave up 3 interceptions, I think. And he just wasn't it. And then the cherry on top of it, and I kind of feel bad for Cowboys fans because a lot of my families are, but I'm kind of not, because Jerry Jones is just so stupid. Like, why retain Mike McCarthy? What's that saying? Repeatedly doing the same thing and thinking they're going to have different outcome. That definition of insanity, right? You've won 12, 11 games the last 3 years. You got one playoff win. You choked against the 49ers last year. You choked this year with home field basically until the NFC title game to the Packers. Like, it's the same thing over and over. Like, why do we need to see part 4? Like, why do we need, especially with this is probably the best free agency class of coaches you're ever going to see. Like, I guess you can wait till next year and fire him and then go get Slovis from Houston or Ben Johnson from the Lions or, you know, what have you. If, you know, but if Harbaugh doesn't take the Chargers job, then that one kind of comes open. And then you have Ben Johnson or Slovic or, you know, Aaron Glenn, you know, all these guys that are, you know, should get their shot. Like, why wouldn't they get their shot now? Like, why wouldn't you take that shot and change it now? That's what I don't understand with this, is there's too many good options right now to say no. Like, if it was last year, you know, D'Amico was probably the best hire. And there were a couple others. But there wasn't like this, you know. Like, if you're going to make a move, you got to make a move now. And the fact that they didn't make the move right now is crazy to me. And I just don't understand it. So, whatever. Have fun, Cowboys, next year. Winning the division again or finishing second and losing in a wild card round. That's your ceiling. It's also crazy. They bring up a stat that they've only won 3 playoff games since 1996. I mean, yikes. You know, that's it. You know, the Texans have the same amount of playoff wins, and, you know, they didn't make the playoffs until, what, 2006 was their first time or whatever. You know, kind of comparing apples and oranges, but we can do that here on the podcast because it's our podcast. It's my podcast. So that sets up a, you know, matchup with the San Francisco football 49ers Saturday night. At Candlestick. It's not a Candlestick anymore. I just love always saying that. At Levi Stadium in Santa Clara. So let's get to the games. So we'll just go in order. So the first game is always the Texans got to be in that 3:30 Saturday spot, baby. Like, if they make the AFC Championship game, I feel like they're going to put that thing on Friday afternoon. There ain't no another way. Like, there's no other way around it. They have to play. They're going to be the afternoon game. They're going to be the first game if they make the AFC title game. Just book it. They're going to be the 2:00 game or whatever the start time is for the AFC title game. Spread, I think last time I looked at it is 9.5. Let me get to it actually. Excuse me one moment. Spread is 9.5 over under 43.5. That is a little too high for me. I'm going to take the Texans in the points. This one's tough because of, you know, the Ravens playoff history. All the pressure's on the Ravens. They're at home. They have home field advantage throughout the playoffs. This is probably their best shot to get to the Super Bowl. You know, he hadn't, you know, he is in Lamar, the future two-time NFL MVP. Only had one playoff win. So, you know, right now him and Stroud are tied. And it don't matter how long you've been in the league. You know, it's what have you done for me lately? And right now, this is the game that the Texans go out and score first. That stadium and the Ravens could get tight. You know, they're banged up, but, you know, they may be getting Mark Andrews back, which is good for them. You know, Isaiah Likely has been playing lights out since Mark Andrews went down. And Lamar's been playing lights out. The whole team's been playing lights out. They're killing everybody, you know. You know, they haven't played in 3 weeks, which is, you know, the scary thing because they rested everyone week 18, excuse me. And then they were off last week, obviously. So there's going to be a little bit of rust to shake off. So that's why I think the Texans keep it close. I do think the Ravens win. Obviously, the future is really bright for Houston, you know, my hometown team. Obviously, I'm a Falcons fan first and foremost. But we are both from Houston, and I love to see my teams in Houston do well. So I'll always root for the Texans, you know, until they get out. They played the Falcons in the Super Bowl. Sorry, I'm rooting for the Falcons. It's my team until I die, unfortunately, you know, for better or for worse, you know. But, you know, the Texans will always have a special place in my heart just because they are, you know, Houston's team. I'm H-Town till I drowned. So, you know, yeah, I have two teams. Y'all get over it. People always give me shit about it all the time. Like, look, bro, like, push comes to shove. If they were in the Super Bowl, yeah, the Falcons. But, you know, the Texans are – I've always rooted for the Texans. I've always had Texans gear. I've been wearing my Andre Johnson number 80 jersey for the Colts game, for the game last week against the Browns, and you're damn sure I'm going to wear it tomorrow afternoon when they play the Ravens, baby. So, you know, H-Town all day. But I do think, you know, coming from unbiased perspective, that the Ravens are the better team. Obviously, they have home field. But you never know. I keep saying, you know, house money. Texans are playing, you know, they're playing with confidence now. They got a win under their belt, a playoff win. They basically had two playoff wins in a row because they had a win and get in week 18 against the Colts. And now they have another one. Or they had another one last week, you know. And, you know, they're playing. You can tell they love playing together. And that's one thing. That was one thing the Eagles felt like. A lot of the Eagles players can say what they want. It didn't feel like they wanted to play for each other. Like, it's one thing to play for the coach and still not, you know, win. But it doesn't feel like people were playing for each other, you know, with the, you know, the Eagles. But we're not going to talk about, you know, the Eagles anymore. They're out of playoffs. We don't talk about teams not in playoffs. Next game, Packers at the 49ers. What a classic matchup, man. When I was growing up, you would always see Steve Young or Jeff Garcia versus Brett Favre, and then you had Alex Smith versus Aaron Rodgers, or you had Jimmy G versus Aaron Rodgers. This is just a classic playoff matchup. Classic jersey game right here. I hope the 49ers wear their retro new, like, mid-90s 49ers. I love those, you know, with the pale gold. I love that combination. You got the classic Packers cheeseheads. Obviously, 49ers number one seed. Packers are the first 7 seed to win. That's another thing to put on a resume of the Dallas Cowboys. They got beat for the first time by a 7 seed. So, again, another team, you know, kind of finding a groove. They had to play week 18 to get in. They had to play last week to survive. And now they kind of go up against this team who's been well-rested in the 49ers. I haven't really played since, God, what, week 17, really? I mean, kind of the same formula as the Ravens, but they kind of sewed it up in week 16. So I haven't really played that much in almost a month. So we'll see what the rust. The spread's 9.5. I don't like these big spreads. And I guess I'm kind of hoping for a better weekend of football than we had last week. So I'm going to take the Packers with the points. I'm going to take the 49ers, though. I think it's a field goal game. I think McCaffrey's way too much. I think Ayuk, you know, Deebo Samuel, Deebo Samuel, you know, I think their defense way too much. So, I just really think the 49ers are the best team, or one of the best teams left. Obviously, the Ravens proved that they were the best team. I'm going to go with the 49ers here. In a close one, I would like to see the Packers win because I kind of want to see the Lions in another home. You know, Packers-Lions to go to Super Bowl would be pretty cool. But I think it's going to be the 49ers. And then we go to Sunday. So you got two games Saturday and two games on Sunday. Oh, quick thing. I know that the Steelers-Bills games got moved to Monday because of the snow and the hazard and all that stuff. We got to go to 2-2-2. Like, none of this 3-2-1 thing. I love that, and I get it, you know, especially because if it falls on Martin Luther King holiday, a lot of people are out. So 4:30 start time or 5:30 start time for some people on a Monday isn't terrible. I think that's just awesome. I think that's the way to go. It probably won't happen just because of ratings and stuff like that, because I think the Steelers and Bills games was like the second least watched game. I think the least watched was obviously the Chiefs and the Dolphins. That's just because that was on Peacock. And, you know, the most watched is obviously the Packers and Cowboys because, you know, it's the Packers and America's team, allegedly. But anyways, back to Sunday, 2 o'clock. You have the Buccaneers and the Lions at Detroit in a dome. So obviously the weather there won't matter. It is 6.5 Detroit. Over under 49.5. I love the over in this game. So I'm staying away from the spread because this could be a rout. Could be, you know, a good game. I think a lot of points will be scored. I will take the Lions, though, in this game. You know, they got that monkey off their back, the pressure of winning that first game in forever and, you know, doing it at home. Now they get to come back. This crowd's going to be even more loose, more, you know, energized, more just ready to roll because they also have another – because this could be the last game they play of the season in Detroit, you know. Obviously, if the Packers win, they get to host the NFC title game, but you got to have that mindset going in. And they'll know, you know, especially because the 49ers play Saturday night, that – if the 49ers win, this is the last game of the season, so we got to show out, you know. This is the last home game of the season. Amon-Ra St. Brown is playing lights out. Goff played well. They got Montgomery involved. You know, they are firing all cylinders. Their defense stepped up. That was the key thing. There was a bend, don't break. They gave up a lot of yards, but they, you know, they held their own in the red zone, which is important. You know, they held the Rams a lot of field goals. And the Buccaneers coming off with this great win at home against the Eagles. I take nothing from it. That was a domination from beginning to end. You know, Baker's probably the quarterback going forward, like I said, so that's awesome. The Bucs, I think it stops here, no pun intended. I think they played well. I think the Lions are just a better team. So I'm going to take the Bucs. Or I'm going to take the Lions to beat the Bucs. Over 49.5 will be my pick. And then, of course, we got the game that everyone wants to see. It is Mahomes v. Josh Allen, part 3. It is, you know, say what you want to say. I'll let y'all fill in the blanks. You got Josh Allen. You got Patrick Mahomes the second. You got the reigning defending champions. On the road for the first time in his career is Mahomes in a playoff, which is just a wild stat, man. You know, them, you know, just kind of faltering middle of the season and kind of turning it back on and just using defense to suffocate teams to death. I mean, they did it again against the Dolphins, you know, the suffocating defense. You know, Rashee Rice, like I said earlier, is coming onto his own. Travis Kelce needs, you know, he had three drops against the Dolphins. But it's kind of hard, you know, with the cold and stuff to be like, man, is he really that, you know, that bad and all that stuff. But, you know, he's got to show out for them to have a chance. I think this is it for McDermott and Allen. Like, I think still you have to win this game. I think you have to win this game to save McDermott's job. I know it's crazy. And it's like, oh, you know, he's gotten us to here and that or whatever. It's just you gotta win one of these. You have to beat the Chiefs. Like, this, the entire pressure of this game is on the Buffalo Bills. So this is the only favorite I'm not going to go with. The Bills are favored by 2.5. I'm going to outright take the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. Until you beat the champs, whether I've been a naysayer all year on the Chiefs, I still think they're fraudulent. I still think, really, especially if the Ravens get past the Texans, I think the Ravens will go to the Super Bowl, either team they play. But you can't discount Patrick Mahomes. And then now there's a story coming out. This may be Andy Reid's last season. You know, so there's going to be that now of, you know, are the Chiefs playing for Andy Reid? And they always play for Andy Reid. They love, you know, they love the Big Red and KC. But, you know, this kind of coming out a couple days before the game, I think the Chiefs come out and just fucking slaughter the Bills. I don't think it's close. I think this game's going to be a rout. I think Vegas has this game wrong. And they don't have a lot of stuff wrong. I think they have this game wrong. I think the Chiefs, you don't lay the number, you put money line. Chiefs are going to blow them out. I think it's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be 10, 15 points. I know that doesn't seem like a blowout, but in a playoff, that's a blowout because they're both 11-6. I don't think it's particularly close, except for at the beginning, obviously. I think the Chiefs found something in Rashee Rice, and that's dangerous because now that you have a second option, really, and Clyde's coming along, you know, and then Pacheco and then Sky Moore's coming back, you know, he's probably not going to be that involved because he's been out for so long. That's another weapon you get back. The Chiefs defense is just a monster, one of the best in football besides the Ravens. So I think it sets up a matchup with the Ravens at Baltimore. All bets are all going to be off on that game. And obviously, I think it's the Lions at the 49ers. All bets are off on that game because you have two young quarterbacks. You have a great defense. You have the whole – you have pretty much everybody but 49ers fans rooting for the Lions in that game. So, you know, you have that – they become America's darlings. So we'll see if that happens. But like I said, recap, I got the Ravens over the Texans with the Texans covering the points. I got the 49ers over the Packers covering the points. I got the Lions over the Bucks with the over 49.5. And I got the Chiefs in a rout money line over the Buffalo Bills, ending crushing dreams of Buffalo Bills fan. I love the Bills. Don't get me wrong. I love the Bills. They can't beat the Chiefs, man. Until they beat the Chiefs, till they beat the Chiefs, man, I'm not going to say anything. And yeah, they get it. It's going to be 20 degrees. They get in Orchard Park and whatnot, whatever. But that, folks, is the NFL portion. We're going to get quickly into a couple of other random topics. I kind of want to touch on the NBA for a second before we finish off with college football. And then a couple of hires in the NFL. Pascal Siakam going to the Pacers for Bruce Brown and, you know, draft picks next year's, and I think 2025's next year, I think. Great trade for the Pacers, man. They are surrounding Halliburton with talent, man. Can they win a championship? Can they compete in the finals? or the Eastern Conference. Probably not. They're not as good as the Sixers. The Sixers are playing lights out right now. And, you know, the Boston Celtics are probably the best team in basketball right now, you know, outside of the Minnesota Timberwolves and the OKC Thunder. But, you know, that was a great trade. It kind of came out of nowhere because after, you know, they traded OG, you were like, oh, well, I guess they'll keep Siakam. But, you know, it looks like Siakam, you know, he's not the player he once was, you know, but he's still good enough, and especially he'll complement Halliburton really well. So that's going to be exciting to see. You know, I like basketball a lot more. The Pacers are one of those weird teams that, like, I like to, like, kind of, like, watch and root for. Because, you know, after my team got taken away in the Sonics, you know, I've always been a Rockets fan, obviously, you know, Clutch City. But, you know, I stay a Rockets fan. But I like to root for other, you know, players and teams around the league. And, you know, Halliburton, you know, I don't think they let that kind of blossom enough. And, you know, in Sacramento, I don't know. It kind of worked out for both teams. It was one of those trades that kind of worked out. Kind of like now, honestly, you know, especially with the way the Clippers are playing right now, that OKC, you know, Paul George trade kind of working out for both teams, you know, especially, you know, with Harden and, you know, all of them, you know, kind of getting into a groove and stuff. But, you know, we'll see. They got to stay healthy. You know, they go as far as Kawhi and PG make them go, obviously. But, you know, I just kind of want to touch on that because I thought that was a pretty cool trade. And you kind of don't get trades that are kind of like even and not an overpay a lot. You know, a couple weeks ago, Ananobi got traded to the Knicks for RJ Barrett and quickly, which I thought was personally was too much to me. Because I like RJ. Obviously, he ain't a one. He's not even really a two. But quickly is a great point guard. Now he gets to start. Obviously, now that, you know, he's not behind Jalen Brunson. So we'll see how he blossoms. But I think that was a lot to give up. But we'll see. You know, and then, you know, pivoting. I don't think we got to talk about it. Because I can't remember if it. I can't remember. Did it happen before? Anyway, Nick Saban. I can't remember if Nick Saban retired after our podcast. After the podcast or not, but Nick Saban retired. I can't remember. Nick Saban retired as the head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide. And now, you know, they get Kalen DeBoer from Washington, who has a trickle-down effect. Jed Fish left his team in Arizona, which is a weird move to me, honestly, because Washington is a lateral move to me, and then you're going into the Big Ten, and you're going into, you're going into the Big Ten, and Arizona's going to the Big 12. Now it's momentum, and then you just up and leave, and then comes out that he basically had like a two-minute call with the players. Kind of whack, man. I know, you know, we give shit to the players for transferring a lot. We don't we give all these coaches a pass, you know. And, you know, Kevin DeBoer was emotional about leaving Washington. I don't think he wanted to. But when Alabama kind of comes calling, you kind of got to go, you know, especially with the money, you know, with the recruiting and stuff. So I think it's a good hire for them. It's going to be tough to follow the greatest coach of all time. Let's just be honest. So, yeah, I just think it is it's a good hire. I don't know if that fan base allows them to get enough time because, obviously, you know, you kind of have a lot of transfers going out. They're not going to be great next year. They're not going to win the SEC next year. You know, especially with OU and Texas coming in. All that stuff. I thought it was honestly going to go to Sark, but I guess Sark was rooted in staying at Texas and building something, which is good for him and good for Texas. They got a coach finally that they can hitch their wagons to. So, you know, that was good. You know, Harbaugh's still up in the air. You know, now he's saying he, you know, if he comes back to Michigan, he wants immunity for, you know, you know, if he comes back to Michigan, and stuff like that. And then obviously he's talking, he talked with the Falcons. And then, you know, he talked with the Charger. And then, so who knows what he does? Honestly, who knows what Harbaugh does? I don't have any idea. I think he leans towards, I think he leans towards going to the Chargers. I mean, he went to Super Bowl. He didn't win one. So maybe that still kind of bugs him. And he gets inherit Herbert, whether you think he's good or not, whatnot. So we'll see there. So that could be another trickle-down effect. Which I think they'll just give it to Moore. You know, he interned for the three games that, you know, Harbaugh was out. So we'll see. And then lastly, we're going to finish up before we get you out of here. I already got you for 40 minutes. I don't want to get you too much longer. Obviously, head coaching, Gerard Mayo is the new coach of the New England Patriots. It kind of was kind of put in place when Belichick stepped down. So you got Belichick, you know, going to the second interview with the Falcons. Please, baby Jesus, let's get him. That would be awesome. Still got Vrabel out there, which is crazy to me. Like I said earlier, Nick Sirianni, kind of up in the air if he's available or not. I think McDermott's still a question mark. LOL, the Cowboys for keeping McCarthy. You know, I think the Chargers are really hitching their wagons to the idea of Jim Harbaugh, so maybe they pivot to Vrabel if he says no or they can't come to an agreement. And then, obviously, the Raiders did the right thing. Antonio Pierce, you know, they're going to have one of the best defenses in football. They did really, after he took over anyways, you know, and the players want him to be there, so I think the players are happy about that. They're going to give O'Connell a fair shot. I think they'll bring in somebody or keep Jimmy G on, you know. But, yeah, I think, you know, I think when it's all said and done, I think Harbaugh will go to the Chargers. I think Sirianni ends up getting fired. I think Vrabel goes to the Eagles. I think Belichick ends with the Falcons. My pipe dream is then we trade for Justin Fields because I really think the Bears are going to be pressured and taking Caleb Williams. Even if that hearsay, I don't know if this is just like stories that people are planning to make Caleb Williams seem like a diva about, you know, obviously he waited until basically almost 2 hours before the deadline to declare for the draft. It was kind of a weird thing. Like he, you know, didn't want to declare, it seemed like, or he, you know, he wanted this, that, and the other. You know, he says he doesn't want to go. He could be doing Eli Manning. We'll see. So we'll see what happens. But with that, guys, ladies and gentlemen, you have an excellent weekend. It was 70 yesterday. It was 46 here today. Tomorrow it is 36. I have no idea what's going on with this weather, but here in Texas, I'm sure it's worse in other parts of the United States. I know that I got some people out there in Pennsylvania and stuff that's snowing. So everyone stay safe out there. And until next time, peace out.